Good morning again. I'm glad you guys are here. We're doing this series called This Is Us, and I wanted to ask you guys a question this morning for you to think through. What do you think about, I think we're going to put it up on the screen. What do you think about when you hear the word us? You ever thought about that for a minute? What do you think of when you hear the word us? See, I would argue that we are not all that good with us for the most part. And the reason why is because, you know, we're all about me. That's the kind of the culture that we're swimming in, right? I mean, everything is about what can we do for you? What can I do for me? I mean, do you remember the old Burger King slogan if you're in the room? How did it go?
Have it your way.
Have it your way, right? I mean, that is a perfect commentary. Really, some of y'all are too young for that commercial, sorry. But that's like a perfect commentary on our culture that we find ourselves in, because almost everything is about me and my personal preference and my personal desires. And you know what? That's fine if you're not a follower of Jesus. But for those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, as we're going to see, Jesus holds us to a different standard. He calls us to a different way of living. In fact, Jesus has invited us, or called those of us who are his followers, to be a part of his church, right? The body of Christ. And his church is not just made up of me. His church is made up of us, of all of us, with all of our differences and all of our different beliefs and different desires and all of our diversity and all of our uniqueness. All of that put together is really what makes the church so powerful. It's what makes the church so unique. See, together we are us. We are the church. Now, I think we would probably all agree with that if you've grown up in church or you've been in church for a little bit of time. But the question that I want us to kind of answer this morning is really this one. What makes us us? Like, what makes us us? Well, in other words, what's going to define us as Hub City Church? Not that we're better than anybody else, but what makes us unique? Because we are unique a little bit, maybe some ways better than others, but what makes us us, really? And that's kind of what we've kind of started talking about a few weeks ago. We started this series by sharing how one of the things that makes us distinct is we don't just want to be a church of Christians, which sounds weird, right? But we want to be a church of Jesus followers. And what we talked about is, you know, you can call yourself a Christian and just believe, but not do anything about your behavior, not do anything about your lifestyle. But to call yourself a Jesus follower, that takes belief. That takes a change in our behavior. That takes belonging to this body, this family of God. Being a Christian's easy, but being a Jesus follower, man, that's a lot more difficult. That's a lot more costly, but that's exactly what Jesus has called us to do, to follow him. Jesus never invites anybody to become a Christian, but over and over again, he invites people to be his followers, and that's what we want to do. And then last week, we talked about our mandate, really, that we got from Jesus, where Jesus says, as you go, make disciples who make disciples, that our mandate, our mission as a church is we want to make people who are following Jesus, who are being changed by Jesus, and who are engaging in the mission of Jesus. That's what I want for all of us, whether you're in the room or you're online. I want us to be following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and being engaged in the mission of Jesus. That's what I want for us. Well, that's what we've talked about so far. Well, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about four things that make us unique as a church. Like I said earlier, not better, just different, just unique. These are our four core values. And I was thinking, actually, even after I wrote my manuscript out for today, why in the world are we talking about this in the middle of a pandemic? I mean, aren't there more practical things for us to talk about? Well, the reason why it's so important for us to talk about this stuff right now is, I don't know about you, but it's so easy to become distracted nowadays. I mean, just one Facebook post can turn your mood from great to, you know, you want to kill somebody in an instant, it feels like. I mean, there's so much stuff out there to distract it. And if there ever was a time where we needed to kind of focus back in on what's most important about who we are as a church family, it's now. because it's so easy for us to get off track. We could start heading down a path and no telling where we'd end up. So we need to stay focused. So that's why we're kind of diving in on some of these things. And like I said, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about one of our core values over these next 4 weeks. And I'm going to tell you something about these values. These values, they shape what we do. They shape how we do what we do. They shape why we do what we do. They guide our decision making. These four values are really what make us us. And today, the one we're going to talk about, I think is foundational for all the rest. Let me tell you what it is, and then we'll kind of dive into it. Value number one. We as a church value unity over preference. Unity over preference. And I hope that if you've been a part of Hub City for a while, this isn't like new to you, because we have talked about this before, but we need to be reminded of it. But we value unity over preference. But here's where this gets difficult. We all might say that sounds great, but we also all know that unity is really, really hard. It's really, really hard to achieve unity. And the reason why it's so hard for us to achieve unity, because the culture that we're swimming in is really all about personal preference. And unity requires that we lay aside our personal preferences for the sake of being one. And so the question for us is, how in the world can we be unified when we're so different? That's one of the things I love about Hub City, by the way. We have different political views. We have different social stances. We have different, you know, college teams that we like, which is kind of iffy for me. But, you know, there are all these differences that we have, but we still come together to worship Jesus and are one. I think we have just this incredible unity in the midst of our diversity a lot of times. But how in the world can we be unified when we have such different preferences and desires? Well, in order for us to prioritize unity over preference, we have to make sure that there's some target that we all agree with that we're all shooting for. There has to be something that all of us are going after that we all agree with that we can focus on so we don't get distracted by all the things that are secondary. There has to be some primary central focus for all of us. And I'm going to tell you what that is at the end of our message. But before we get there, we really need to figure out if this is actually even something that we can support out of the Bible, right? I mean, since we're trying to follow Jesus, we probably should use his word to guide where our values come from. And so that's what I want to do. I want us just to look at a few passages in Scripture today that really talk about unity. Now, the truth is, Scripture has a ton to say about unity and personal preference and division and all this kind of stuff. We could talk about that for the next 3 years and not get through all the passages that are in Scripture. But I just want to focus on a few this morning that I think will be helpful to all of us. The first one comes in James chapter 4. If you've got your Bible app pulled up there, you can see the notes there. The verses are on your Bible app. On the YouVersion app in the events section there. But let me read what James writes. If you remember, this is James, the brother of half-brother of Jesus, who writes this stuff. And he says this, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" Now, just to stop for a minute. Have you ever thought, like, why you argue and why you fight? It's usually because you're not getting what you want. And that's exactly what James is saying. He goes on and he says this next. He says, "You desire, but you do not have, so you kill." You might not go that far, like literally kill, but you've looked at someone like you're going to kill them. You know, you've said some things to someone that if your words could kill, they would have been dead already, right? "You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God." Then he goes on. He says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with your wrong motives." Now look at the wrong motives. "That you may spend what you get on your pleasures." That's another way of saying your personal preferences, they're the reason why you have all these fights and these arguments. That's what James is getting at here. We don't get what we want, so we fight and argue. We focus on our own personal preferences instead of what God wants for us, so we end up fighting and arguing. In fact, this doesn't have anything to do with our sermon, but the next time you find yourself in a fight or an argument, just pause for just a minute and ask yourself a question. Is the reason I'm fighting because I'm not getting something that I want? The answer is probably yes. In fact, I would argue all the time that the answer would be yes. You're not getting something that you want. That's kind of what James is getting at here. He implores us in these passages to take personal responsibility for ourselves in acknowledging and calling out our own selfish desires. Because the truth is, all of us, whether in the room or online, have personal preferences and desires. And James says, you got to call those out for what they are. And you can't let those be your focus. You can't let those be where your attention is driven. Let's look at something Jesus says now. Hopefully this is familiar with you. But Jesus says this in Luke 9. We looked at verse 23 a couple weeks ago. But he says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. Now I just want you to look at this for just a minute. Because look at the highlighted words. Jesus, in calling us to be his followers, kind of just throws personal preferences and desires to the curb and says, look, if you want to be my follower, you want to be my disciple, you really need to deny yourself. You need to take it further. You need to take up your cross daily, which is you need to die to yourself. You need to follow me. That's lay aside your own agenda for Jesus' agenda. And then it involves losing of your life. Like each phrase that Jesus mentions here really has to do with putting aside our personal preferences, which is why, just let this sink in for just a minute. If our lives are defined by working to get whatever we want or our own personal preferences or our personal desires, like if that is what defines our lives, then we are living in a way that is opposed, diametrically opposed to the way Jesus has called us to live as his followers. See, Jesus has a different way for us, a way that involves us denying ourselves, taking up our cross, losing our life. But then look at verse 25. It takes it even further. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? In other words, this is Jesus' way of saying, like, what good is it if you get everything you want, but you lose what's most important? What good is it if all of your personal preferences and all of your desires are fulfilled, but you lose the thing that's most important? See, I think it's clear that Jesus calls us to live in a different way, in a way that values unity over preference. But what does that look like? How do we do that? What's a picture for what it looks like to value unity over preference on a regular basis? Well, the Apostle Paul paints a picture of what that might look like for us in Philippians chapter 2. Look at what he says here. I love this. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, in other words, if you can go back there for just a minute, Trey, if Jesus has made any difference in your life at all, like if there's anything in you whatsoever that says Jesus has made a difference in your life, then make my joy complete by being, and look at what he says, like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Just pay attention to what he says here. He emphasizes words like-minded, having the same love, one in spirit, one in mind, one way of thinking. He emphasizes the importance of us putting others before ourselves, thinking of others before ourselves. Then he goes on and says this. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, which is a little convicting because I think a lot of what we do is out of selfish ambition, especially when it comes to maybe our job or maybe a hobby or even, you know, just the team that we pull for a lot of times. You know what I mean? It's this vain conceit. He says, rather though, instead of doing things out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. Value others above yourselves. And then he goes on and says this, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of others. Now this is so easy to read, but man, how often do we find ourselves looking to our own interests instead of the interest of others? How often do we find ourselves thinking of ourselves instead of thinking of others? And the reason why I know this is so hard is because of everything that I've seen on social media for the past 3 months, right? I mean, it's so hard. We're so focused on our own interests instead of thinking about the interests of others. But Paul is clear. Don't do anything based on your own personal preferences as a follower of Jesus. Remember, that's who he's writing to. He's not writing to non-Christians. He's writing to those of us who have committed ourselves to follow Jesus. And don't do anything based on your personal preference. Don't just think about yourselves. You got to think about others. I want to look at one more passage. This one comes out of Ephesians. Apostle Paul's writing here, and he says this, as a prisoner for the Lord, to which you would go, I'm not a prisoner to the Lord. Well, good news and bad news at the same time. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have committed yourself to be a prisoner to Jesus. That means he's in charge and you're not. That means he can call the shots and you don't call the shots. That means he's the ruler and you're the subject. We are prisoners for the Lord. And since we are prisoners to the Lord, he says, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. In other words, God has called us to live a certain way as Christians, as followers of Jesus. He's called us to live differently. And then he says that this is kind of how we're supposed to live differently. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Not like partially humble, but completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Like, you can go back to that for just a minute. This is really what I want to kind of characterize those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus. I want us to treat each other and live life with each other, characterized this way, with humility and gentleness and patience. And then that last one, which I think is really, really important and really, really hard, bearing with one another in love. We don't really want to bear with one another, but that's what he tells us to do. But then he goes on and says this, which is so important. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That phrase, make every effort, means to do whatever it takes, to go to extreme measures, whatever it takes, do whatever it takes to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. See, it's only when we're doing that, when we're doing whatever it takes to keep the unity of the Spirit, that we can have this peace within us. And then he wraps it up by saying this. This is crazy. Look at what he says next. And as if to emphasize his point that unity is really important, he uses the word one 7 times. He says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. As if Paul is saying, listen, guys, I just want to drive this home so you don't miss it. Unity is really, really important. Actually, it might be the most important thing. That's why Jesus prayed in John 17 that we would be one as the Trinity is one. Like, Jesus prayed for our unity. That's how important it was. He actually prays for it 3 times in that chapter. It's pretty amazing, right? I think you can tell from just these few passages how important unity over preference is in the church and why this should be one of our primary values. So the question we have to ask now is, since unity is so important and we need to do whatever it takes to preserve unity and keep unity and work for unity, and since unity should define us as followers of Jesus, what are we going to unify around? What are we going to unify around? Well, the truth is, there are a lot of things we could pick, right? I mean, really, we could pick a political party. A lot of people are unified around a political party. We could pick a social justice issue. A lot of people are unified around a social justice issue. We could pick just this campus. Have you realized how many churches are just unified over their physical space? That's what unifies them, a building, right? But what's going to unify us? What are we going to focus on? What's going to be the target that we're going to go after? Well, really, in light of all that we could unify around, we have chosen to unify around 2 things that I think are the most important. And those 2 things are this: Jesus and our mandate. Everything else is secondary. If you want to know what we're going to fight over here at Hub City, it's Jesus and our mandate. Those are the most important things. There's a lot of other stuff we could fight about, but you know what? We agree to disagree. We might just have to put up with one another and bear with one another and forgive one another because they don't think the way we do about certain things that we'd like the way they think to do. The reason why is because we are shooting for unity. We are working for unity. We're doing whatever it takes to pursue unity because we are shooting for Jesus and his mandate. Let me tell you why these are so important. Jesus, obviously, he's the one who is the Messiah, the Son of God, who came into our world and died for our sins and rose from the dead. We got to focus on him. That's non-negotiable, right? When we take Jesus out of the picture, we cease to be his church. And the truth is, we are his church. And since we are his church, that's why his mandate for us is so important. As you go, make disciples who make disciples. That's why we don't do a bunch of stuff here at Hub City. That's why we only do a few things, because we're really, really serious about making disciples who make disciples. But one of the things that we've learned is that's really, really hard, because everything in our culture works against that. Everything in our culture works for personal preference and an easy following of Jesus. We just want an easy faith, right? And we want an easy faith that just makes our life better, but it doesn't always work that way. Just read the New Testament, right? That's not, following Jesus doesn't always make your life better, but that's what we're called to do. To follow him, to change our life, to submit our lives to him. And so we have a target here at Hub City. And our target is Jesus and his mandate. This is what we'll fight over. This is what we're going to unify around. This is what we're going to keep is our focus. These are really our two core essentials. These things are the things that guide our decision-making, that guide what we do and how we do what we do. And focusing on these is what is going to allow us to prioritize unity over personal preference. I want you to think about something for a minute. This is like a duh statement. I think we would all agree that our country is pretty divided right now, right? And it's not just our country, it's the entire world, but heck, we're Americans and we live here. So let's just pick on ourselves for just a minute. We're pretty divided right now. Do you realize that this is an amazing opportunity for Jesus Church to model what it looks like to be unified even though we're diverse, and even though we disagree about certain things, and even though we have personal preferences? This is an amazing opportunity in history for us to show our country what it looks like to be unified, what it looks like to lay aside our personal preferences. Because the truth is, the reason why our country is divided is because we are unwilling to lay aside our personal preferences, right? It's true. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to believe that. I don't want to vote that way. I don't want that to happen in our country. I don't want our government to do that. I do want our government to do that. And I'm drawing a line and I'm not going any further. Our personal preferences are what are driving us apart. But we, as Jesus Church, as followers of Jesus, have this amazing opportunity now to be a light to our country like we've never been before, by modeling what it looks like to prioritize unity over preference. So my question for you, whether you're online or you're in the room, what are you doing? What are you doing? Or how are you contributing to our unity? What are you doing for our to work for our unity? Or how are you contributing to our unity here at Hub City Church? Just a couple things. What you say about other people in our church either contributes or takes away from our unity. What you post online either takes away or supports and works for our unity. Your participation either takes away from and divides or works towards our unity as a church. So what are you doing to contribute to this value? What are you doing to prioritize unity over and above personal preference so that we can be the church that God has called us to be? I think each of you has a role to play. It's not just my job, it's all of our jobs. All of us have to work for this and pursue this and go after this, because it's so easy, like I said, to get sidetracked and to get distracted. And I don't want that to happen for us. So what are you doing? What can you do? And that's really your assignment this week. What is something that you can do this week to prioritize unity over preference? What's something you can do? Maybe you need to apologize to someone. Maybe you need to just pray for unity. That's something all of us can do, right? I mean, Jesus did it. He prayed that we'd be one, right? We can model that. We can all do that. Maybe you need to forgive someone who's hurt you here at Hub City. Maybe you need to step up your involvement in some way. I know it's hard right now with COVID and life's crazy, but man, We don't need to let the circumstances of life keep us off of track of what God has called us to do. So what are you going to do this week to prioritize unity over preference? I wish I could just tell you. You know, I wish this was one of those things where I'd be like, I want you to do this, this, and this. But the truth is, each of you has a unique way that God has equipped you and gifted you to contribute to the unity of our church family. Maybe it's repenting of letting your personal preferences get in the way. That's a great one, you know, because we all have personal preferences, things that we like that we kind of complain about. What are you going to do? Just want you to close your eyes, and I want you to ask God something. Because I asked you what you would do, but maybe a better thing for you to do would be to ask God right now. God, what do you want me to do to contribute to the unity of Pub City? What do you want me to do, God, to prioritize unity over preference? Take a few seconds and just ask him that. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for Hub City Church. I thank you that you have called me to be the pastor of Hub City Church. I thank you that you have brought all these people to be a part of this church, to call this their church family. I'm just grateful for all of them. But Lord, I just want to pray humbly for our unity as a church. It's so easy to let personal preferences get in the way of you and the mandate you've given us. It's so easy for us to get distracted. It's so easy for us to let relational issues drive a wedge between us. And I ask that you would forgive us when we let that happen, and that you and your kindness would lead us to repentance. I also pray, Lord, that you would convict us of anything that we've done or are doing that are driven by our personal preferences, so that we would be more defined by laying those down for the sake of the unity of this body. And Lord, I just pray that you protect us. Protect our unity. Protect us from disunity. And finally, I want to pray that our unity would be a light to our community and to the world. That in spite of our differences, and there are many differences, in fact, as you and I have talked about, God, if other people in the room knew some of the differences that people held in this room, man, we'd just probably explode. But you've called all of us to be your followers, and we can unify around Jesus and around his mandate, in spite of our differences. So help us to be a light to this community and to our world, to our nation, because of our unity. Help us to paint a picture for them of what unity looks like. Lord, we love you, and I thank you for the opportunity to talk about this. I thank you for us. So in Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're gonna respond. I'm gonna invite Gary to come on up, and the band can come on up as well. But, you know, each week we kind of share communion. We take communion together, whether you're at home online. I hope you're doing it at home online, as well as in the room. In the room, we've got these little individually packaged cups. But I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not before, but communion is really a declaration of our unity. When we take communion, we're declaring that Jesus died and rose from the dead. That's what Paul says. It's a declaration of what Jesus has done for us. And that's why Paul, in the book of Corinthians, kind of just brutally rebukes the church in Corinth, because they had all this division in their church and they were fighting with one another, and then they'd come together for communion and some of them were getting drunk, which I don't think you can get drunk off this grape juice, but some of them were getting drunk and some of them were gorging themselves like they were at a Ryan's buffet. Communion was something that they did for their own selves. And Paul just kind of lamb blasts them. He takes them to the carpet and says, you've messed up, because communion really should be a declaration that we are unified, that we are together, that together we take the bread and the juice and we remember and declare that Jesus was crucified and that he rose from the dead. And so this morning, as we take communion together, let's take it as an act of unity, that we are one because of Jesus and the mandate he's given us. His body, which was broken for us, we're one, focused on that. His blood that was shed so that our sins could be forgiven. We're one because of that sacrifice. I hope that every time you take communion from now on that you recognize that it's the declaration of our unity, something we tangibly do together to declare to the world that we are united around Jesus. Did you know another way that we contribute to our unity here at Hub City is with our generosity? By saying that the money that God has given us is not just for me to use for my own personal preferences, but it's to use to build his kingdom. And if you're in the room, we're not passing any baskets. We just got them sitting around the room. If you're online, you can go online, or at home, you can go online and you can give here. But giving is actually a way for us to contribute to the unity of our church, because we take our focus off of using all of our resources for ourselves. And we say, God, here, I want you to use them for your glory. And so I invite you to give as well. And then we kind of share our unity when we sing together. And that's kind of weird when you're at home, you know, and you got people in one living room singing, and then you got people in the room singing, and we're singing with masks on here, you know, because we don't want to spread any COVID germs or whatever. But singing is an act of unity where we lift our voices together to worship our Lord and Savior. And we want to end our time together by doing just that, by singing together as an act of unity, focusing our attention and really committing ourselves to Jesus. So we invite you guys to stand and to sing.